Welcome to today's episode, where we explore the collectibles industry with a special focus on Rare Coin Market. Our guest, Kate Ovadova, head of e-commerce at Bullion Shark, which is a prominent player in the collectible coin industry. Kate brings her experience and passion for the market, offering a unique perspective on the marketing and sales of rare coins, ranging from ancient artifacts to contemporary treasures. In this episode, Kate shares intriguing insights into the nuances of the collectible coin market, including the discovery and acquisition of rare coins, the intricate research involved, and the captivating stories each coin carries. We'll explore the challenges and strategies of marketing such unique items in the digital age, focusing on customer engagement, retention, and the impact of social media platforms like TikTok and Instagram on reaching new audiences. You'll gain insights into the innovative strategies Bullion Shark employs to engage and expand their customer base through social media and digital marketing, and how they balance the demand of new customer acquisition with customer retention. This discussion will unveil the behind-the-scenes operations of the collectibles market, the passion of its collectors, and the sophisticated tactics used to captivate and educate potential buyers. Join us for a journey through time and commerce, exploring how ancient coins find their place in modern collections. Welcome to the Ecom Pulse, your heartbeat to the world of e-commerce. I'm your host, Eitan Kotter. Join us as we meet with industry leaders, marketing experts, and the innovative minds behind the tech that is shaping the e-commerce future. So plug in, gear up, and get ready for a pulse-pounding journey into the heart of e-commerce. Kate, how are you? Welcome to the show.
Hi. Hello. Thank you for having me.
Thank you as well. Kate, you're in a very interesting industry. I love the chat today. Obviously, you are in the collectible industry, working with rare coins, dealerships, and auctions. I'd love to learn more for the audience also to hear more about the specific of your industry. So probably maybe we start with the Bullion Shark and what you do at Bullion Shark, and tell us a little bit about the characteristic of the industry.
Of course. I have a very fun job, starting with, you know, being in marketing in general. It's always a lot of tools that you can test and a lot of strategies available for you. But also being in the industry of rare coins, you always have something new, something that you have never seen before. And there are so many stories that people have been telling about this coin over and over again for years we hear from our numismatists and we can put it together for our marketing materials. We deal rare coins. They can be from ancient Greece, Rome, from USA as well. They can be really, really old, and all of them have their unique stories. So that's very fun.
It's really interesting. I mean, history is really a hobby of mine, and I'm really, really, really interested. I think I'm going to start this episode from the back end side of things because I'm really interested to know how things are working, like behind the scenes. How do you find these coins? What the research is that you do? Let's unpack this a little bit because I think it's a very, very interesting part of what you do.
Yes, of course. So I'm not finding them. That's not my job. So I don't talk about this part. But research is very interesting. So some coins have been minted for quite a long time, right? And then something can happen, like they've been transported from one place to another, and then the ship that they've been on just sunk. And all of a sudden, they are so much less coins in circulations than it used to be. And the price of them goes way up.
Goes up, yeah.
So with some of them, there can be mistakes when people create them. So there was one coin that in 1883 that was supposed to be a 5-cent nickel, and it didn't say cents. So some people noticed that, and they started gold plating them, and they were trying to use them, and they used them as $5 gold, you know, and especially back at that time, that was a completely different story. So, and the stories are incredible, and they're all over the spectrum. And there are another coins that are more common and not as valuable that U.S. Mint has like as a coin programs, like let's say presidential coins, right? So they've been creating a coin with the president on their on the coin. So here the research will start with the actual series, how many coins are in series, how many have been minted, why certain mintages differ, you know, and what these people have done. And it's, you can just go on and on about it. So the content for coins is just endless, and we just need to prioritize, you know, what's the most important and what to tell people first.
Yes. I guess it's a very interesting type of supply chains, right? I mean, people are struggling with shipments and 3PLs and inventory and, I mean, workflows. And for you guys, I guess it's probably different, right? You need to have probably a constant flow of new coins to make, you know, auctions and sales more attractive. And I guess it's a kind of a specific way of managing the backend side of the business.
Yeah. So one thing is that you need to be always ready, right? So you need to be, you need to have your inventory available.
Yeah.
And it is not a, you know, a printing paper, which is, you know, sometimes also can be challenging. So that's a coin. And people now in the age of Amazon, they just, they want it tomorrow, you know, they got it now. And if something is like, oh, you know, we can have it right now. So they're not really happy about it. So that's one thing. But another thing is that everybody who collects coin, they're always looking for something new, or they can be, you know, certain coin that's been produced for years, and they really want to get every single year. And we need to make sure that the collection that we have the specific year, or some of the coins have so-called errors, right? And it can be some letter can be double printed. You know, there are a lot of more details and terms, but this little error increases the price by, you know, so significantly. It can go from a couple of dollars to, you know, sometimes $1 million.
Wow. And,
yeah. So, and also when we're looking for the new coin, we also need to make sure and examine it correctly. You know, what is in this coin? Is it how is would be appropriate to price it? So it's a lot. And also we buy such coins from people because, you know, some really rare coins can be found in exchange. They're still in the circulation. It's very rare. Yeah. And a lot of people call and they say, oh, but I got this penny. Is it, how much does it cost?
Yeah.
And, sometimes they are valuable. So that's it's also very interesting.
Yeah, interesting. It's really amazing stuff. So let's move to the other side of the business. Who are the customers?
Very different. So I learned that a lot of people that collect coins, they start collecting them when they're super young. And they're getting interested in the history, as you were saying, and you know how you go with a kid to a museum, right? So they see all of this relics. And here you have a coin that you can actually see, and that was from ancient Greece or whatever. And if you were a fan, that's something that you want to have. And that's how you learn more about them. So different type of people. And as price point is very broad as well. So some coins can be bought for $5 and some, as I've been saying, thousands of dollars. So obviously, you know, the older people get, hopefully, the more money that they have to spend. So, and they get more higher priced items, but there are a lot of people, and some of my friends also collect them. They're my age, some younger, and people in the organizations, everybody who I work with, they collect coins, and they generally very interested in coins. And they are very, you know, also we have different people, but some of them are in their early 20s. So from, I would say, 18 to, you know, and up. And some of them are interested earlier, but you know, they ask parents to buy coins for them. So it's a very educational hobby. So that's,
yes.
So
it seems like there are also like community like parameters, right? In terms of the audience that you're trying to target, because probably there is a kind of a communication between them. They are connected. They know each other, right? It's kind of a very niche, you know, type of personas that are, you know, buying coins, rare coins, right?
Yeah, yeah, because also a lot of people who buy coins, they write about them, or they're contributors to some coin publications or media, just because they're very, very curious about it. But also, they buy coins and they sell coins. You know, a lot of people have either their very small website or eBay. You know, now Walmart also does it. So they do trade between them, you know, or exchange. So it's pretty big industry, but not that many people know about it.
Yes. So obviously you have those people who knows you and you know them, right? And you know what they like and what they're looking for. And so let's call it retention type of marketing, right? And also you try to attract new like personas or shoppers to go into this business and try to buy as well. How do you spend your marketing in terms of attention, like in acquisition versus retention?
Yeah, so collecting is a hobby. So here retention is, you know, by all statistics, it's the highest, you know, when it's hobby, habit. So, but the thing is that there's so many coins and one dealer cannot possibly have everything. You know, that would be great. It would be one stop and shop. But even though people come back to us, see what we have, they also purchase somewhere else. Right. So, and, you know, if they see that, oh, there's something that I really like and they'll get it. So, but we're always ready with, you know, new items all the time and telling the story about them. As for attracting new clientele, we are very big on social media. And that would be TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube. We do also have other social media, but these just work best for us. So we rarely really promote the product itself, but we teach and tell the story about certain aspect of coin collecting, showing why this coin is that cool, and also telling people that they can have this valuable coin when they're not aware of. So all of the people that follow us, they all check their change.
Okay, got it. So the content you're creating is mostly kind of a UGC type of content, or it's like on the influencer marketing side?
All in-house.
Yes, all in-house.
Mostly, yes. And we have a different type. We, as I was saying, we're going live and we're showing the actual products, but we also just educate people and just do this type of videos for Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube.
Nice. This is, again, from your own internal team, right?
Yes, yes. That's all. It's all our team. So here is a little tricky part for the UGC. People who buy coins, they do not want people to know that they buy because of security reasons. So nobody will really show the face and say, you know, I got this super rare.
gold, of course.
It's not supposed to be. It doesn't matter if it's gold or not. But this super rare coin that, look at this, you know, I spent $200,000 on it. Nobody will do this.
Yes.
Maybe for a smaller purchase. But we haven't tried that yet.
Yeah, so you mentioned live shopping, and obviously you have your e-commerce platform. So how the transaction, the auction itself, is taking place?
Auctions, we do not do live auctions.
Okay.
For now, we just have it on our platform. We just make sure that, you know, the spectrum of the products, is interesting. And, just let our audience know, you know, with the social media or any other promotions that we have in place.
Yes. So the live that you mentioned, is it for education, or also you're creating kind of a live shopping event also, or like
live
people are buying? Yeah. Live shopping. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there, it's not an auction. So there is a fixed price for the coins and people are just buying.
Yes. Yeah.
And usually have like one of each sort, right? There is no like, it's mostly rare coins, right? So it's kind of a unique coin. Every coin is unique, right?
Yes and no.
Okay.
Some of the coins, they can be, it could be 3 million of them minted, right? But the same coin next year can be only maybe 500,000. And that will already consider more rare than the other one, mm-hmm. right? But that's just, can be different numbers. Or also for some Greek coins, right? So it may be, same coin of Constantine II, but none of the coins are the same since they've been all struck by hand. So every single coin is unique, and some of them can have better features than the other. But since we are selling them online, it's very important to show the coin what people will get. You know, or maybe sometimes we can have couple coins and just say, you know, so this is bad quality, this is worse, but they're all certified. So, and there's some certification homes that will put the price and guarantee the authenticity.
Yeah.
So it's very important for us to show what they're actually getting and also tell the story why this is so important, why it's so unique. So it's educational, but we're also selling so people can come to our lives and to buy the coin.
Yeah. Yeah. So you mentioned you are very strong on social. Is it mainly organic, or are you also using, you know, paid media as well?
We do use paid media, but it's mostly organic.
Mostly organic.
Yeah.
What other organic activities you are performing? I know you're also very strong on email marketing. Tell us more about the inbound activities that you do on the marketing side.
Nothing really too crazy, just as every other company. You know, we're reaching out to our audience saying that, so this is the new item that we get. And a lot of people, we have great open rates because they all love to read about the coin itself. So
yeah.
they click through, they read about it, and, you know, sometimes they buy, sometimes they don't. But we take pride in putting our time into putting all the information for them. You know, if they buy, that's great, obviously. And if they're not, we know that the mission of Bullion Shark is to be the source of rare coins, and all that, you know, goes into it, be the source of information that they need to get the coin that they want to add to their collection. Just, you know, be their right hand.
Yes. So it seems that there is very high stickiness, right, between your shoppers and the company. And I know you're spending a lot of time on this building trust, right, and this trust factor. So tell us more what you mean by you know, as a company to build trust with your audience?
Of course. So trust is number one of the main factors, even when we talk about Google search algorithm. They even have this EEAT that stands for expertise and authority and trustworthiness, where it's extremely important to be authority in your field and also building this trust with your customers. And in the field of coins, it's very important for us, especially for the customer that have never been purchasing from us, or maybe coins in general, and they just want to try something new, start collecting, or just, you know, buying it as a gift or something. It's very important for us to connect with them and show them that we're really that we're real people, that we have the coins right here in front of us, and that's what they get. As well as showing the review of the coins, and that, you know, we have this great community of people online and on social media that love it and join us on a weekly basis on every live that we host.
Yes. So what do you do for this trust factor to increase? I mean, you create some, and you mentioned Google, right? In the same context, is it like creating content that Google like and your audience likes? Is it like a blog that you're creating, or some of the other activities that Google like? Maybe the video on YouTube. What are the type of things that you do to build this trust?
Yeah, everything. Starting with the content, you need to make sure that you build this authority about the topic that you are about your product, right? So if we sell coins, we need to make sure that we tell people how the coin is valued, right? So what's the important factors that they need to know about, where they can learn more about the coin, mintages, values, collectability, all of that. So also if they want to sell the coins, how do they do this? As well as making sure that we're putting our reviews and videos everywhere on social media. So trying to do the 360 of the of our topic online.
Yes. So it seems that like the target customers or the shoppers are like, you know, and I talked about the stickiness. It's like you are part of their daily life. It's kind of a habit, right? They know to open your newsletter, you know, to go and check what's new. How often do you think they're interacting with any of your content, web pages, social media account? Is like on a few times a day? Is it a few times a week? I mean,
yeah, it's actually amazing. Everywhere I went for conferences and people saying like, oh, so if your customer comes back the same month, it's already great. Some people that purchase from us come back the same day several times a day. You know, so they will find something, because some items are just, you know, $20, right? So they saw something, they're like, oh, I'll get this. Yeah. And then they will be researching somewhere and they'll come back, you know what, maybe I want this as well. And it's amazing. Yeah, we have some portion of people that can just come back several times a day and purchase, and they can be very small purchases. Some do a little bit more, but it's fascinating. Yeah, and we're trying to just integrate in their lives naturally. So create the content that they like to read, that we know that they want to read, and do not be overly pushy on this, you know. So we also ask our audience, what do you collect, what are you looking to get to add to your collection, not just to, you know, push it on them, but understand you know, what we need to work on more. So that's yeah. really great.
I mean, it seems that you have a very passionate audience, shoppers, potential customers, like the community that you're building and the type of the level of engagement that you have with them. And I mean, engaging with you a few times a day. And this is like a dream scenario for any brand. So, I mean, well done. I mean, it's really, really exciting to see this unique behavior, definitely during this time. And so, Kate, tell me, I mean, you actually started from the marketing side now, and also you're now responsible in managing the platform, your e-commerce platform, and some of the unique functionalities. You mentioned live shopping. How was this transition for you from the marketing side and obviously taking also responsibilities for the tech stack?
Yeah, it's the tech was always my passion. Of my background, and I used to code some time ago as well. And I thought that my career will be more tech related, honestly. You know, collectibles, it's just happened to be so eventually. I love to learn, I love learning in general, and you know, e-commerce position and marketing, they're very they intertwine. And you know, you see, okay, so I have this goal, I want to increase conversion here, but then you know, you always need some extra tech, some you know, some extra application that you want to add, and then which one you know, which one is the best. So it's always whatever goal you set up in, you know, for marketing to get to, you always need certain tech to come along with it. So, you know, and we keep testing and switching and, you know, doing better with every choice.
Yes. Obviously you mentioned you like learning and, you know, I looked at your, I mean, just your studies, you also did like Master of Science in Mathematics and Marketing and Data. I mean, where did this passion come from? I mean, learning all these new things.
Yeah, my whole family were studying mathematics. So all of them, even okay. Chinese. And where my choice, I never knew what exactly I want to do. And they say, well, if you do mathematics, you'll figure this out. And my... teacher, one of the main teachers in university, he also said, if you know, the only thing that you know that you need to know how to do is how to learn, you know, quicker, and you know, just in general, just be curious constantly and be able and be willing to learn, and then you'll do well. So it's that's what we do.
Okay, Kate, so with your experience in mathematics and all this data knowledge, how do you see the evolution of AI and how do you put this into practice in your business?
Well, that's a great question. since it came out, been a little bit obsessed testing all of the possibilities. You know, now you can write super fast with it. You can create videos, images and everything. But the main problem is that it's not perfect, and you know, but it's also good that it still needs a person to you know, get the best out of it. And my approach to AI in general is that I'm not fighting it. I think it's here for good, but just as much as it's tempting to replace and to update certain operations and you know, make AI take the lead there, should be always very careful on, you know, like what exactly can we use AI for and what we cannot. Every company that I see right now uses AI, but whoever does it cautiously and, you know, still does, if it's a rating, a proofreading, making sure that, okay, so we have this content, but it's not just letting it write everything. You just have maybe some portion and then you adjust it to your voice and to the audience, you know, that will be reading. Sometimes I see in some, you know, rare coin dealers, and I see the blogs that they post, and it's just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
You know? You know, we also use it, but just we try to be extremely cautious and just use certain part. Some of the AI is really good, and it does save a lot of time, but all of them still needs human being next to it, and you know, this mix actually works the best.
Yes, I mean, probably use it as a tool to expedite time frames, probably launch new campaigns or expedite them to market, like cost reductions, maybe headcount, staffing, like brainstorming on creators. But again, you need a human, obviously, to wrap it up and make it something which is more human-oriented. And I think you mentioned the blogs. Obviously, most of the search engines today can quickly identify content that was written by AI and probably will not promote it in any way, right? So it's there's so much content out there these days, not just text, but also video and pictures, right? And I think people are looking for the more genuine and creative thought process to differentiate themselves, right?
Yeah. It really helps you to generate the ideas, but then you still need to do the work. And with the last Google update, it was about 2% of all of the websites that got de-indexed by Google. And most of them, all of the de-indexed websites were fully written by AI.
Wow.
You know, yeah. So you can use it, and there are a lot of other companies that have been using it, but did much better after the Google update. But there, if you fully use it, just be cautious of, you know.
Sure. Kate, what are some of the tips you can provide to other e-commerce leaders in the industry? Again, from your experience and background, maybe some of the lessons or, you know, tips that you can provide.
Sure. So for the leaders, I would say that it's very important to understand the strengths and the weaknesses, your own strengths and weaknesses, as well as your brand. Identify strengths in your team, and don't be afraid to ask help if somebody is more knowledgeable to save time. Don't be afraid to test different strategies. Do not dwell on the, you know, on the outcome if it's not as what you thought that would be, and just keep it agile and, you know, keep it rolling.
Nice. Very good. I think it's having this like no ego type of mentality, right? Both as a person and inside as in the company. So really important feedback. Thank you so much. And Kate, this is the part where I ask you about a fun fact about yourself that you can share that probably most people in your network, professional network, are not aware of.
Yes. So I'll give you two.
Wow. Lucky me. Yeah.
My friends, very close friends, have no about it.
Okay.
So first will be I play violin. And second, I can lift 300 pounds.
Really?
So, yeah, deadlift.
Wow. You know that I played violin also for like 12 years, but it was very long time back. But you still play today?
If somebody take my laptop away from me and give me violin, give me a month and I'll play.
Yeah,
but otherwise I'll be just working.
It's one of the most difficult, you know, instruments out there, right? It's very, very difficult. So, wow, amazing. And the deadlift. So like two extremes, right, in the same person. So amazing. Thank you for sharing that. Kate, anything else you want to add?
Just thank you so much for your time and having me here. I really hope that this was helpful. For people in e-commerce and marketing.
Amazing. So I really appreciate the time. Wish you all the best. I'm wishing you again an amazing year. Thank you. Hope to see you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you for joining us on this episode. Your support means the world to us. If today's episode has been insightful for you, consider sharing it with someone who would also benefit. Even one share can make a big difference. Looking to elevate your e-commerce game? Discover Vimi, a multi-channel e-commerce platform that will transform your business with the power of shoppable video. Visit us at vimi.net to learn more. It's Vimi, V-I-M-M-I.net. Thank you for being part of our journey. Stay tuned for more invaluable insights in our next episode.